looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, here to always, always give you reasons to feel better. And I can't imagine a more satisfying way to feel better than by understanding your pets, whether they're here with us or they've passed over. And just like my intro says, you've got questions and you want answers. You're like, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? What are they trying to tell me? What do they need? Why are they acting this way? Or if they've passed over, I know some questions that I have, like, oh my gosh, did I do the right thing? Are they mad at me? Do they know? Like, did they suffer? All these kind of things. There's so many questions around animals. And you guys know I talk about my cats all the time, and this time we're really going to get to talk about a lot about cats and dogs and lizards and birds and all kinds of horses, all kinds of animals, because I am so happy and so lucky to have snagged an awesome guest for you guys today. She is the modern day Doolittle, and her name is Meg Vickel. So I hope I said that right, Vickel, yes. And
yeah, perfect.
Okay, good, good. And my lovely guest here is an amazing animal communicator, and she's trained under world-renowned animal communicator and author, Maya Kincaid. Our Meg here, she literally helps people around the globe to understand what their animals are saying and what they want and what they're feeling. And this is, I usually stand there doing a show, but now I'm jumping around and walking and everything. So welcome, Meg. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for the warm and enthusiastic welcome. I feel like what energy. I was just at this very zen and calm, you know,
peaceful
state. But you brought me up, which is, no, it's wonderful state too. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be chatting with you today.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I have to share with everybody, I came across Meg on Facebook, which where don't we ever find awesome people there? But just the whole energy and the vibe, you can tell, like, just a pure, it's more than an animal lover. You actually help, like, you pay service to animals. Like, you're helping the animals. It's not just the people, but you're helping the animals to be able to share their, what they're saying. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, it's exactly what I do. I work with the energy of the animal. But I also, you know, there's this notion, we always have to remember, they're not just here to be here, just to take up space. They are here for a reason, and they're often aligning with humans to help humans in their journey as well. So there's a lot more than meets the eye, and those are the people who are open-hearted and open-minded are the kind of people that, pardon me, the kind of people that come to me and that connect with me to do that dialogue and to be that facilitator for those conversations.
So this is so fascinating. So you're right. So you connect with the animal's energy, and okay, I want to validate this one. So animals have a life purpose too, then. It's not just us walking around like all high and mighty. Animals have a purpose, like a life purpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Some animals, you talk about domestic animals versus wild animals, animals in captivity. All of them are doing different things. Usually animals come for one of three reasons: to teach, to heal, or just to be a companion. So there are groupings of animals that reside on different parts of the world, like elephants of Africa, and things like that, birds in the Amazon, and they're doing healing work for respective pieces of the land around the world. So it's not just those that are in a relationship with a human. They're affecting us always, you know, as a human race or individually in a pet owner situation, if you will. We can call them animal companions, we can call them pets. At the end of the day, I think if your intentions are pure and true, right, it doesn't matter what you call them, as long as you feel the love for them. Yeah.
actually glad you said that, because I, when I was putting up the post, I was like, oh, I don't want to just call them animals, but they are animals. I meet them in a nice way. And I was like, didn't want to call them pets. And I was like, oh my God, fur babies, friends. So I was, but I love that you said it's, it's your, if your intention was, yeah, your intention, where it's coming from. I also just love that you just broadened my view of them too. It's not just about the relationship with a person. They're doing beautiful work for the land, for the environment, for the, just the nature itself. That's very interesting. Do you tap into, like, has anybody ever asked you to tap into the, you know, like you said, the birds of the Amazon, their energy, to do like a reading for them?
In my training with Maya, we did the collectives. We spoke to the collectives of dolphins and the work that they're doing for the waters. The whales and the turtles and the sharks are actually protecting the dolphins. The dolphins actually hold a lot of sacred knowledge for humanity. So their existence is very important to our existence, actually. So there's that underwater ecosystem that is hugely at work. So yes, I've connected with them. I would say more now it's more individual sessions. So I want to talk to my cat or my dog or my horse, or my lizard, or, you know, I've talked to hermit crabs. So people want me to talk to all sorts of wild and interesting species, and I'm more than happy. In fact, if someone comes to me and, like, dog and cat, and they're like, I've got a bunny, I said, okay, we'll do that. I'm doing that complimentary because I really want to talk to your bunny today. So it's just, you know, if you've got an animal that's different or unique, you know, bring it on. Just let me know and we can always work something out. That's kind of how I work. The interspecies relationships are really neat too. So between, I've done readings between a duck and a dog, a bunny and a cat, and they're so neat. Like some of them are best friends and then some of them have a hard time coexisting. And those interspecies relationships are also very important to their human as well and teaching them. So it just, it develops upon itself, right? Like it all just unfolds. It's really interesting.
Yes, I think that is. And I used to have a bunny, and my I have two Bengals, and Brinks, the boy cat, we rescued, my sister actually helped rescue this bunny. And so I ended up with him, and they just loved each other. Like the bunny actually would chase Brinks around and he would love it. So they just, you're right. It's so sweet. You wouldn't think, like a lot of people think, oh my gosh, wouldn't they eat, you know, eat the bunny? And I'm like, no, they're friends. So question about, you said, okay, so going to environment, one of my questions I want to ask, and it is environment related, is when we have seasonal changes, like right now we're going from the fall into the winter, do they experience it as drastically, or like, are they aware, and does that bother them? Like, do they know that we just have the fall back, so we got an extra hour change? Like, I know a lot of people say the cats don't know, and I'm like, they do know. Do they?
Know? Yeah, that's a really great question. Those that are aligned with us domestically are a little bit more tapped into their feeding schedule because they rely on their humans. Yes. So thereby they're a little bit more sync with us. And so thereby what we're affected by, they're intrinsically affected by too. Not the animals that are fending for themselves that have like created these patterns of preparing for hibernation and whatnot. No, they're very much more tapped in, tuned in to, I guess you'd say, Gaia, or as we commonly know her as Mother Earth. So they're much more aware of the seasonal changes than those that are the domestic. The domestics that I talk to are worried about having to put the booties on, and they're having the fight with their owner.
Yes.
they want to talk about negotiating how to get out of the booty situation because they don't enjoy that restrictiveness. You know, it's bad enough to wear the coat, but now you want to put booties on me. Come on. So there's sometimes a little bit of an awareness that has to go with that, of saying, like, this is why. So, yeah, very, very different conversations.
Yes, actually, it's funny. I literally saw a dog walking so oddly in his little boots, and you could tell he's uncomfortable. But, yeah, for good reason, too, with all the salt that if you put on the road, the chemicals and things like that. Oh, my gosh, there's so many questions. There's so much fun thing to ask. When you talked about, okay, so the animals, if they become a little bit more domesticated and they're relying on us and they're a bit more aware that way. Here's, I'm just jumping into this one. Do our animals sometimes mimic our, I don't want to say illnesses, but I do, like our challenges are, like if we're stressed, do they get stressed? If we get diabetes, can they get diabetes? If, you know, just can they mimic in illnesses, and how far can that go?
That's a fabulous question. I'm really glad you brought it up because it's usually the cornerstone of a lot of the conversations that I have with people and their animals. And it's funny because people come to me and they go, I want to talk to my cat or my dog, and partway through, the cat or dog does a switcheroo, and before you know it, we're talking about the owner. So there is a sense of the animals aligning to help us. Now, do they reflect or mirror us, is, I believe, the question you're asking me, in such a direct way? Not always. I think if you are seeing that, I'd say, how often do I see that? At a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being all the time, I'd say I see it less than half the time. I'd say maybe 4 or 5 times out of 10. I see that, but mostly I'm seeing indirect correlations. So if, we'll talk about your beloved Brinks, but sometimes it's not always just because they're angry or they're frustrated or they want something obvious. It's not always a rational response. It's something that's different, and it actually hinges on your emotions. So you were saying, like, when they assume a dis-ease in the body or a disease of the body, like if you've got irritable bowel syndrome, will their stomachs be upset as well? Not always. It's not that obvious, which is why it's kind of a little bit more of an intuitive level that you're connecting with them. But I would say not intuitive. Everyone can do animal communications. It doesn't matter your level of intuition, but naturally we all have some. It's more about tapping into the emotions of the animal and getting really tapped in and tuned into what emotions are they invoking in you as a result of their behavior.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's a little bit more into the EI, emotional intelligence part of things. But I hope I answered that first part of your question about manifesting different ailments and disease in the body.
Right. No, actually, I think it's fascinating. It went way deeper than I was going to say, because you're right. If they have an emotion, it has a vibration to it, and we have our emotion vibration, and it kind of has this own language that develops. And we're both going to the fact that you just said that we can all communicate with them, which I totally feel that, know that, believe it, everything. And I have many conversations, people say, they don't know what you're saying. I'm like, they totally know what I'm saying. I know what they're saying. I have this thing where when I call the kitty, I'll say to Brinks, I've only got 10 minutes. You can go for 10 minutes, but I need you back in 10 minutes. I swear he's really good at it. And does he hear me? Does he understand when I'm saying something like that? Like, I feel like he is. Or is he just sensing me?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, he's sensing me at the 10-minute mark, kind of like, okay, you better be here. Like, is he more, not that I'm giving him direction or instructions, but that at that time frame, I'm like, okay, he should be back and he should be here, and now he's coming.
Yeah, there is a component of you two being quite synced up. And now what I pick up from Brinks is that you two are very communicative with each other, with dialogue and without dialogue. So his ask is that actually just wait just a little bit longer for the response. You're very good at talking to him and at him and giving him your directive and showering your love over him. He feels all that. But he's just saying, hold on, I also have something to say. So he's just saying, just wait. And sometimes it's just like, he won't even look back at you. Sometimes he's off and he's gone. He just kind of takes
it. It's totally him.
He just walks off and it's like, thanks for letting me know. Like, if I only had hands to open this door myself or for myself, I'd be out running, like, the 24 hours a day, come home for meals, something like that. So, there's a verbal and nonverbal dialogue. And I always encourage people to just wait, because I always get that the animals just say to pause. I've even made the mistake of not waiting to listen long enough. Sometimes animals don't come through right away, and I have to wait. I was actually taught by a parrot, very intelligent African gray parrot, and when it did come through, it was just basically laughing at me, and I was like, what are you laughing at? It's like, well, you connected with the wrong animal because you're too hasty in communicating. And I thought, oh, you're right. I connected with the parrot's name was Ruffles. Well, think about how many animals in the world. It could be a dog named Ruffles. And I thought,
right.
I learned a lesson. I thought, that's a humbling lesson. This was probably over a year ago. But I thought, oh, goodness, okay. The animal's teaching me. Like, they are our teachers. And I was very careful after that.
It's funny, actually, to think that they have a sense of humor. Because if, you know, the parrot's laughing, like, do they all have a sense of humor? All animals and creatures?
Yes, they are, like, some of them are cheeky, some of them are really smart, some of them are reluctant to communicate with me, like, there's a very shy, some are just quite dry and to the point, all kinds, like, they run the gamut, and it's fun, it's always fun to see who shows up, because you never know who you're going to talk to. You just kind of, you have to just go with it. There's a sense of asking the ego, and I do this all the time when I get set up for a session, is I do like an introduction where I ask my ego to go sit in the chair in the corner and get out of the picture, because that's the biggest barrier, and that's the human experience at the end of the day, is the ego. And I just tell it to get out of the driver's seat and go away, and I need to do this communication with the animal. So you have to be really open to whatever is going to come in. And at first you're like questioning it and you're overthinking it. But once you can relax and find ease and the grace of what's happening there, so much more flows in. And that's a really beautiful place to be in.
Oh, it sounds like you're becoming that open channel to just allow the right one to come through. Can you explain the difference? So is it channeling or is it, what's the term to describe this?
Yeah, people ask me, like, are you a medium? Are you a channel? I just say I'm the messenger. So I don't really identify as a medium or channel. I do sometimes have, when animals on the other side come through, sometimes I do have their loved ones come through that are with them on the other side. And that's usually reassurance for the grieving owner to get a little bit of peace there, knowing that the animal is with the loved one and the loved one is with the animal. It's just, yeah, it's really nice. So there are some new things, but you have to remember that. And I'm happy to share the story of how I came to know about and exercising this talent. But
actually, that would be a great thing to share. We'll save that. We're going to go to commercial break. But when we come back, first of all, that is a great thing to come back to. But everybody, we are listening here to an amazing animal communicator, Meg Vickel. And when we come back, there's so much more to come.
Of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
We have all read about or heard about becoming more spiritual, about working with our energy, the awakening, the shift, about being our authentic selves, living our purpose, reaching our true potential. The challenge doesn't lie in the knowledge, it lies in the execution. The struggle becomes connecting to that limitless self-healing part that each one of us has and gaining control of who we truly are. Hi, I'm Dr. Reverend Aisha Hogan, and you are invited to join me on a master's practice on Om Times. Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
All right. Thanks for being with us, everyone. We are here with Meg Vickel, and she's our animal communicator and very deep, I must say. I'm just really enjoying what you're sharing, and it's very conscious. It's very spiritual. It's very loving and deep. And you've really gone further than just, you know, your dogs and cats kind of tapping in. I'm loving this. It's beautiful. You mentioned, so I want to share just a quick thing here. When my mom passed a couple years ago, and I noticed that I would always have these dreams or like she was coming to me, and then it was closely connected with a cat, my cats or a close cat around me passing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if my mom's coming to assist them, and she's letting me know, like, I'm coming here to them. Is it possible that people from the other side come and like escort them out to the next phase of their life?
Yeah, as you're saying that, that really resonated with me. There was like a gesture of the hands, like come this way, maybe guiding them in the direction. They always find their way, whether there's someone as present, but I think it's actually meant to be more of a message for you, just that there was that connection that was being made so that you had that reassurance. But again, this is like, I feel it's all divinely orchestrated that I brought that up, and now you're having this memory come flashback. And there may be, I do feel like you've done great work in terms of healing. But I do believe there's some more left there. So I do find when I have conversations with people and that comes up, and then the conversations can get really emotional, but that's part of the, that's part of the purpose, yeah. Right? And so I just say, let it flow and let it go. Like that's the whole point, we're here. So yes. Yeah, that's really interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, well, because I often wonder, like, do animals have more than one life? Like, do they come back over and over and over again?
Oh, yeah. Not always, not all of them. Sometimes they live out their life, they've done their job, and they transition. Others have made soul contracts with their humans to come back. Now, soul contracts aren't written in stone. So, for example, if you had a horse and you owned a farm, and then you know, farming life got too difficult, whether it be financially or just change of pace, lifestyle, and you moved to the city and moved into a small place, that soul contract would no longer be. So things can change. You know, I do believe there is this element of free will that we have despite things that are orchestrated for us or that we've composed before coming into this lifetime. But yeah, working with me, you definitely have to be of the notion that there is this idea of reincarnation. And I've had some really, you know, I call it miraculous stories where I've had to communicate a message of an animal coming back, an animal that had transitioned, and saying, listen, I think your animal is going to come back. And they're saying like, no, I don't think so. And I find that hard to believe or not sure. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Just like stay open and you never know. And then I'm getting emails. There's one cat in particular. I'm getting emails from the owner saying, okay, I was on Facebook and I think cat, I locked eyes with it. It was just a photo. I'm going to go get it. And then not only that, but in the emails that continued to trickle in from this one client, I was floored because she's like, this is my 2.0 cat. This is, and the cat's name is Sully. This is Sully 2.0. Didn't name it Sully. They named the new cat Petey, but was like, sits on my feet when I'm washing the dishes, just the way Sully used to, sits by the door waiting for my husband while he's washing the car. Just like the littlest things that they knew that cat to be similar, the same. So yeah, it's really neat. When someone has that kind of, pivot in their brain that goes, I see this differently now, or I've expanded my awareness. So yeah, exactly. And I just kind of do nod to the universe and I say, you know, thank you for helping me help someone else. And that's where my heart is. It's on my sleeve because I have always wanted to do something with such grandeur and purpose. And I do feel like finally I'm in my early 30s, but I say finally I'm kind of on this path that just feels so right and so purposeful.
Well, and you do so much work for charity and to raise awareness and to just, so it's not just helping individuals, but you actually look for groups of animals to support them and help them and assist them in any way you can. That must be so challenging to choose, because like I want to help everyone. So it's like, oh, which one, how do I do it? How do you go about, is it an animal that's communicating with you to say, oh, please, this group right now needs you the most? Or do you just follow your own heart without any advice from animals to choose?
They'll guide me. I don't necessarily ask them, but it will be maybe through someone who I've done a session with who says, or I'll follow that person on Facebook and I'll see something that they're involved in or that they've liked or shared. And I go, oh, I see. They're always leading me. They're always guiding me. Maybe it's not direct. Maybe they're not just straight out communicating it to me. And I don't know if I've had an animal do that yet, but yeah, it's really neat. And so 10% of all the proceeds from, 10% of the proceeds from each and every breeding goes back to an animal related cause. And I do like to work with, you know, organizations that do have a resonance with what I do. That's obviously important to me. And I also like to work with kind of the smaller ones, the ones that are really trying to make an impact. Like it has to resonate with me as much as the next person. So, so each few months, maybe it's more seasonal, we'll switch it up. And I'm always looking for recommendations. So if anyone's listening and they have a recommendation, please reach out. I'm a big proponent of planting seeds. So if it's not now, there's always the opportunity for them to be the charity recipient in the future.
Well, I hope that your inbox is going to be able to handle the flooding of the recommendations and requests coming in. I know that the owner of Ohm Times Radio right now, they're just, oh gosh, they just love animals and help them out so much. So that's why I'm also excited to have you here. Now, I'm going to share something now. This is personal to me because, of course, you don't get embarrassed with things with our animals, but you have so graciously offered to help me in a situation that I've been dealing with. Not quite 10 years because he didn't do it right away. But my little boy, Brinks, is a peer. And I just want to share this with everybody, too. This is the one thing that was very important to me. Bengals are a breed that is highly intelligent, and they need a lot of stimulation. It's not just playtime. It's actual stimulation. So they're one of the top breeds who are surrendered or mistreated because they don't understand the breed. They're frustrated and the Bengals get frustrated, so they do things, you know, like you're saying, I'm not happy, and it really frustrates the owner. So either, you know, that's really sad to me. So that's why when I made sure I was going to get my second kitty, Lucy, I got a Bengal and rescued, like make sure she was not just from a breeder as well, because I wanted to make sure that I understood them finally. But I don't understand why my boy Brinks peas on, and a cardinal just flew. I haven't seen a cardinal yet since the snow fell, and a cardinal just landed in front of me. Oh my gosh.
They're beautiful.
That's so pretty. So my little Brinks, knows how to use a litter box. He has used them. But then he also goes outside all summer. So I just thought he was peeing in the house and where he should not pee because he was angry because I wasn't letting him out. Or, I mean, the litter box was always clean. So it was like, I have so many litter boxes, and I thought, does he really need 7 litter boxes? You know? So my thing is I try talking with him. I get frustrated, but he really pees on. He's ruined so many of my things. I've had to throw so many things out. Even like floors gets ruined. So I would never scold him, you know, maybe. And a lot of people say you have to yell at them and do this, and I'm like, I can't. Like, there's a reason why he's doing this, and I don't just want to be angry with him because I love him. So this is a lot of people I know go through this. So this would be my question, and how can we have a little chat with Mr. Brinks?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for being so open about that. A lot of people are like, this is a private matter. So, you know, kudos to you for sharing your vulnerabilities to a certain extent
for
the sake of helping others, because you're not the only one. You're not the only, I'll just tell you that. You're not the only one. What I do is when I'm doing communication with an animal, I'll just kind of tell you the process before I do it, is that I'll just kind of say hello to the animal in my mind's eye and greet them and see what comes through. So just bear with me here. I'll just say hi to him and see how he wants to show himself to me. Okay. Okay. So yeah, he's ready to talk. Well, he's been talking.
Yes.
He's saying he's ready to talk more. He's very communicative with you, and he says, you know this.
Yeah.
And he's calling himself Baby Brinks.
Yes.
Is he still the baby? Is he still baby in your eyes?
Totally still baby, yes. Yes,
yeah, he's my baby.
Well, because there's a more younger who would deem Lucy, who would be deemed the baby. Because she's
yeah,
younger.
But he is more the baby. Mm-hmm.
He's more baby. Okay, so he's actually saying he came to you with a silver spoon in his mouth. So there's a bit of a, he's like yeah. What an interesting. So the way he shows me, and I'm not really, you know, the way I kind of learned to hone this ability is not to really go on visual, but for the sake of deciphering the energy of two cats who otherwise look quite similar, I usually just take a peek at them. But so you did send me the photos, but oftentimes I don't. But the way he shows me himself is like his mouth is like wide open, and I was expecting him to meow, but I got like a yawn come out. But the reason he did that, because he wanted to show me all of his teeth, like reaching far back, right to the back. And some of them look actually quite sharp. So he's also showing me his body and the way he walks. He's got a very calm, confident demeanor. It's a bit of a saunter. Like
yes!
I know who I am. Like there's a confidence for sure with that, like a big cat walk. And I get this, he does this around the house. So he moves from piece of furniture, climbing things. He's really, really unique. He's slow, but then he can be very quick if he wants to be. He wants it to be known he's got a lot of power, and he's quite precise,
yes,
in his actions and how he moves with great intention. And this is a confidence he talks about. So let's just establish a little bit more character because he wants to kind of go with that. Yeah, so he loves to be treated with knowing that you know he's confident and honoring that kind of masculine dominant energy. And there's a great sense of duty and it feels like protection around the home, which we can kind of get into because I think that has something to do with the peeing. But then he says that he can be a huge suck. And he cuddles.
Ah,
and
he's totally.
But he also enjoys laying in bed with you and having these face-to-face conversations. It's like, you know, it's almost like this FaceTime conversation. He gets right in there. And I have him, like, nuzzling the top of his head into you, like, just giving you, like, all the love. It's, like, a lot of physical contact, a lot of touch. He loves, like, the head scratches. Feels like right.
Yes.
He's very intelligent. So we've got like head scratches almost like right between the eyes. He really likes that.
Totally, yes.
Yeah. But I do feel there's a lot of a sense of confiding in him and you talking to him about all sorts of things, which he really enjoys. So I have to pause this. I'll step outside this for a second and just tell you that when I first connect with an animal, you'll have questions, but sometimes I just have to let them have their peace because
yes,
it's like tuning in a radio station. Like, not had their dials tuned in so clearly before. So they're like, hold on, I've got something to say here before we kind of get into it. Sometimes animals don't even answer the question. I know he will, but like, let me just, and then I'll let you kind of dialogue back and forth.
I love everything that he's saying and showing you.
Yeah, he's really enjoying this dialogue that he has with you, and you do confide in him, which he's really liking. He says he does love the affectionate moments, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of I love yous exchange. Do you just like kind of pour your
yes
over? Yeah, I love, and that boosts his confidence. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because I'm feeling like the confidence is giving him the permission. I'm getting the word permission to almost do the peeing. So there's yes, isn't it? Okay, let's get into the peeing because he's acknowledging the peeing now. Okay, I'm going
to
just catch
good.
Your
I'm glad
here.
To see he's acknowledging it, but you're right. But you said a very interesting thing there, and to tell Brinks, I do almost give him that permission because I always tell him he can do no wrong, and I'll clean it up. I'll just deal with it. I wish he didn't, but you're right. I almost – so we don't mean to give him permission. You can tell him that, but you're right.
And he's owning up to it. There's a sense of owning up to it, and he's not feeling that badly about it because of this. So it's not so much even what you say, it's how you feel. Because what seems to happen is you clean up, you get rid of it, you move things around, you almost are accommodating the behavior.
Totally.
You're upset, yes. He feels the frustration, but then he's getting frustrated too. So let's tap into why. He's still explaining himself. There's a sense of codependency. Your hearts are very intertwined. He knows He knows how to get his way with you, just like about anything. So it almost like I get getting the phrase getting away with murder, which feels like,
oh my gosh,
if it wasn't you, I would hurt something, you know, I would be very mad. Okay, let's get into the sense of like protection of the home. Why would you say that? Yeah, there's a great deal of duty and service to you to take care of the home. And it's not just not, I'm seeing like the perimeter. So it's not just the perimeter of the home, but the property outside too. So if he can't mark outside, he's going to increasingly do it inside. And he's going to continue to up the ante. So he says he's frustrated too. So he wants other animals. Oh my gosh. You know the beware of dog sign in the front window? He wants like a beware of a cat. Like hits him. He wants, like, this is my house. This is my space. Okay. He doesn't identify with the litter boxes as being part of the home or his home. So he says there's no need to pee there. So what I'm, hold on, I want to make sure I understand what he's saying here. Something about the scent. So if he uses the litter box, his scent gets discarded and he's wondering what's the point of that. So what's the point of that?
Because his
thing is it's about marking. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. I get what you're saying, because the box is like, he'll use the box when he just has to pee. Like, I got a full bladder, mm-hmm. I got to let it out. But the mm-hmm. other peas, it's more like, you're right, there's a message in it.
It's like a marking, yeah. It's a different sense he's saying, too. I don't know if you're noticing that. If you even have the opportunity,
I totally
all you
know
can
that.
Smell is this pee. All I can
I
smell
totally,
is
that's so true.
Sour. It's like a sour, yeah, I'm a tree.
It's his testosterone or something. Yeah.
So what's he wants to bring up the changing of the homes, because that's actually made it more challenging for him. So his ability to do the marking of the outside property. And so he now is he's doing it inside. To him, that's his job. He feels so. We brought up something about early stages being outside. So he feels like he was groomed to be an outdoor cat, so to speak, and then that was kind of taken, the message is taken away from him to some extent. So you got busy and feeling you got like tired, life happened, life changed, lifestyle changes, and then a routine he really relied on kind of fell off or decreased. And it feels like to you it was a privilege, to him it was a duty. So there's a sense of not being aligned with what that job was supposed to be and how it was supposed to be performed for the long run. And him not being able to do that is a little bit frustrating for him. But he was very, very happy about this outdoor roaming, the freedom to monitor and keep watch of the property. And not being able to fulfill this is really like annoying, frustrating. Like it gives him an edge enough to mark in the house and things get frustrated. So I'm seeing, we talk about the emotions, right? So he's frustrated and you're frustrated and he marks and you get more frustrated than it. So you guys are like this vicious cycle ensuing and he ups the ante. Mm-hmm. So if it's not just you getting angry, maybe there's someone else in the home that's annoyed and he's feeling the energy of more than one person.
Yes.
Right. So, but yeah. And he keeps bringing up like, can't be mad at me because you kind of groomed me like this to be born with this silver spoon, and you don't make me, you're upset, but it's like it's not like you're directly upset at him, you're just upset that you have to clean this up or that something's been destroyed. But he's not making the correlation.
Yes.
He's just saying, well, that's damaged now, she's getting rid of that, so okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I'm feeling like Game of Thrones, like I don't know, it's like this, I don't know Game of Thrones that well. I only watched a couple seasons. For anyway, that's a fan.
I don't either.
But it's like there's this Prince Joffrey, who's like this young, young royalty. Just has a lot of power, and can do whatever he wants, and thereby he does. He kind of like abuses his power a little bit. So there is a sense of him being like, you know, of regal royalty and abusing a little bit of this power you've given him by wanting to, you know, knowing that he can do no wrong. Because he says something about your heart. He's like, he knows the softest spot to your heart, according to him. So he's quite confident.
Yes.
So I just want to bring up one thing. He's talking about the outdoors, and I do believe there is a message here for you, because sometimes there's something more than meets the eye. And the fact that he's been doing this for so long. Go ahead. Yep.
And if there's a way, like, can I ask him to, that we can work this out, that we, that, like, how can I help him to, like, just
this is a good, perfect question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about the litter boxes. It's about going outside more. And it seems like you're going outside with him too.
I used to walk him all the time. Yeah. Now here's an interesting thing. I gave him his own, here's Silver Spoon here. Cause it's not about litter. He doesn't even need the litter. So what I've done is I've given him Rubbermaid, the bins, and I turn them on their side. Cause I know he's going to pee on that wall. So I just put the box against it. So he's still peeing where he wants to pee, but there's plastic in between. I can just easily clean it. So is that, he seems to like it. Does he like
the combination? This is, you're entirely accommodating him. You're accommodating the behavior, which is, so you've given him a lot of tender love, and that's how he's assumed his life. And it's like, I mean, I'm going to say, he's going to take you for a walk. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, who's walking who? Like, who's in the driver's seat?
Yes.
So there's a sense of a little bit of tough love that he'll be shocked, and you might find you're a little bit like, you know, at odds with each other, just be like, okay, like, I've got to give you some tough love here. You can't be doing that. Like, and you can have a heart to heart with him, but the way he feels about the outdoors, it feels very nice actually. So I want to share it with you. And it does have something to do with how you can feel better being outside a little bit more. Okay. It does feel like you're kind of cooped up. You're feeling, your energy's feeling kind of cooped up. So let's go with this here. He acknowledges some energy blocks in your body. So as we know, I'm going to step outside this for a second, and the energy flows throughout our bodies, and we've got more than just the 7 chakras that run up and down. We've got tons of them throughout our body. So I'm not saying all of yours are blocked, but he's sensing that you're, you know, hold on, I got to make sure I get this message right. There's something about your creative vein in your body, or they say everyone's got a creative bone, and you've got many creative bones actually, but you've got this creativity that's being blocked in your body. You've got a very artistic side, and it's not being nurtured. There's something that you're holding back on. So spend some more time with him outside. Connect with that side of yourself in nature. Is the message coming through? Like, it's your something about your natural talent. So being out in nature and those things that are natural and happen naturally with the environment, if you can experience it with him, he loves that. He loves being outside in the tall grass, in nature, because he doesn't feel restricted or confined, and that allows him to move a lot more naturally, and the energy flows through him so much more easily in his body. So this is like a big cat stuck in a small cat's body. Now I'm not sure if he's not telling me he's been a big cat in a past lifetime. Like, he's not, you know, big cat come back as a small domestic cat. But he's got the pride of, you know, a big cat. Yes. Okay. So
the bloodline.
Okay. Well, and that maybe,
so
that maybe,
I want to validate that. I can validate. I used to walk him all the time, and then I thought he must hate this. So I started letting him go on his own, but I'd still walk with him. But then I was like, oh, I just let him go on his own. So I haven't even been present for a lot, because I'm just there with him, you know, and he wanders and does things. But we really all enjoyed, Lucy Brinks and I all enjoyed our walks together, and I haven't. Mm-hmm. So I feel really like that's, oh my gosh, I'm guilty there for sure. So yes, I'm going to go start walking them again.
Yeah. Okay. So hold on. You said something that, and it's beautiful how you dialogue with me, because I find the more communicative the human is on their end, with as the dialogue comes through. Of course, they don't usually let you get a word in edgewise because there's so much coming through. But it's great, because you might say a word and they might hinge off of it, and they want to say, okay, I've got something to say about, you might have just said 2 words and they said, okay, I want to pinpoint on that. Or they may have actual full dialogue response to what you said. But so where I'm going with this is that when you said about walking versus just letting them roam, he does, the preference is to let him roam free versus walking. Now at this point he will take either or, because he's feeling like he just doesn't get out enough. But what I'm seeing is you just sitting outside with him and just being and observing him, because there's a lot about his movement, and I see your creativity comes from your mind, your hands, your body, like creative movement as well. And that's how you're going to get that energy flowing in. There's big ideas that are waiting to take hold on you. These seeds have been planted, so to speak, but we need more inspiration. So Brinks is going to offer that to you. He says he'll show you. So the nature is your outlet for stress to, again, spend time outside with him, whatever it may be. And it's cold. It might be hard to sit still just outside, but even if you can, you know, walk around a little bit and, like, see what he's seeing and observe, like, these birds coming in. You said you've got the red cardinal. They're, like, messenger birds. So there's a lot in nature, even beyond the birds coming in, or, you know, it could be, like, the odd squirrel or whatever is in these days when it's so cold. But even just watching, like, could be snow falling or trees falling off the leaves or the wind coming through. Like, there's a lot that you can benefit from. You're very porous. You're a very sensitive person. And so you feel the cold, like, to your bones. And you feel the heat the same way. So we want you to just, like, nurture that a little bit more.
Well, thank you. Everything you're saying that is so very deep. And I hope that people are really feeling, like, I want to share with all the listeners right now, that has been, whether, I almost forgot about the pee thing, but when we come back, you guys can see the benefit of having this animal communication. So stick with us. We've got some good stuff for you guys when we come back as well.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
For those times when you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Mother Ocean. Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Oh, you guys, I'm so glad that you're here today for this show. I've got Meg Vickel here, and I am going to give a huge, huge direction to everybody right now. I want you to connect with Meg on Facebook. It's Meg Vick, V-I-C-K, but it's Vickel, it's her last name. But it's Modern Day Doolittle. Connect with her on Facebook, because in that, that seemed like so much stuff in just 15 minutes that is already... You've helped me so much, reminded me of things I need to do, want to do, used to do, haven't made, even for myself. Like, this is it's for him and it's for me, and you're so bang on about, like, it's, I actually have a silver spoon in front of me, this is so funny, and it's because it's tarnished and I need to polish it, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I, first of all, there are so many things. So first of all, I want to make sure I really get everybody to connect with you, but you are doing something very special. It sounds like you do this regularly. You do a holiday give back. I have to make sure I say this properly. I'm going to let you do the sharing about this, but there's something that you just give so much, but there's something that you're going to offer to everybody as well. And I'll let you take it from there.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for being so open. I was just, you know, saying that to you. Mm-hmm. Like, it, I just say my only mandate for working with people is an open heart and open mind, which, you know, shouldn't be too hard to come by, but, you know, some people are a little bit more open than others. So that's why it came and poured out so easily. But yeah, you can connect with me on Facebook at Modern Day Doolittle or on Instagram, Modern Day_Doolittle. Doolittle, like Dr. Doolittle, though I'm not a veterinarian and I don't give medical advice. Doolittle has one O. And yeah, the holiday give back, you know, in addition to the annual, not annual, I should say year round give back to respective animal related charities and rescues, is the season I'm going to do starting in a couple weeks on Instagram and Facebook, is I'm going to be giving away complimentary readings to some lucky followers. So if you're not following me there, head over. There's going to be a couple opportunities. And I also do, I'll give a little a hint, is one of them is going to be a pay it forward. So basically you can't enter yourself. You have to enter someone else. So, you know, 'tis the season to give, and thereby you should enter someone else. And that's kind of how it works. Because, you know, there's a lot of I want, me, me, me. Let's give to someone else that maybe has recently lost an animal or is having some difficulties and just needs to connect on a deeper level, better understanding, get some answers heard and whatnot, and we'll go from there. So I should mention one quick thing about animals that have transitioned is that I do wait a 21-day period to allow the animal to transition and do what's called a life review. It also helps the owner work through some of their emotions and the grief process before we connect. So just keep that in mind if you're looking to solicit me for my services or if you're a winner of this contest. We just don't do it right away. We do wait that 21 days. So, yeah. Head over to my social media. That's kind of where all the information happens. Like you're talking, lots of videos. Any questions you have, I'll do frequently asked questions, and I can mask your name and the animal's name if you want it to be anonymous. But there's so much value in being vulnerable and open about the issues or concerns or even just basic curiosity questions you have about animals, because if you're thinking about it, someone else is thinking about it. So I totally take the liberty of switching out the name so that it does become anonymous.
This is incredible. I absolutely love you for saying about enter someone else. That is, oh my gosh, my heart is just melting right now. Oh, and okay, I have to do a quick ride because I only have 4 minutes and I want to fire this off. But okay, I've got four quick, I think, easy and questions that people have asked me to ask. So I'm so excited about them. Okay, I'm just going to fire them. Fire. Ready?
Okay.
Do animals do animals, specifically dogs, know when we're on our cell phones, when we're walking them and not paying attention to them?
Yes, they feel the energy. They feel the distraction. Absolutely. They don't look at you either. People are like, they're not even looking at me. The other thing is, I want to mention that they can feel your energy through, if you're walking a dog or a cat or whatever, they feel the energy through the leash. The leash is like an extension of your arm. So if you've got maybe a leash aggressive dog, so maybe they became aggressive initially and then you became scared of them being aggressive. So then that's where that we talk about that vicious cycle of behavior ensues and the emotion is cyclical. You feed them, they feed you, and then it goes on and it gets bigger and gets worse. So always remember that is there's a constant connection of emotion and energy being shared between you and your animal companion.
Okay, what I'm also hearing is that the animals, they want us to pay attention to them. So even though you're with them, but if you're on your cell phone and doing stuff, like I put my cell phone down or don't even take it on the walks when I walk them. And then I was like, God, that would have been a great picture. But no, but okay, here's another fire question. Do animals truly have food taste preferences? Like if they don't like something, do they really not liking it or are they just being picky?
That's a great question. So when I connect with an animal, I connect with the personality of the animal, which may tell me I don't like the food, I want something better, or I want more treats in lieu of my food. And then you're going, well, that sounds weird. Because that feeds my discernment, too, with what comes through. Because they could be cheeky. They might be like, I just want to get more treats out of this situation. So I'm going to tell her to tell my owner. Like, they're smart. then I can tap into the higher aspects of the animal. Yeah, tap into the higher aspects of the animal, which I do at the beginning of any reading. And I ask and I say, is this in the best and highest interest for this animal? And then I says, no, this is in fact bad because this animal's already overweight. And if you continue down this, it's a slippery slope and there's going to be health related consequences. So, yes, they have preferences. Some of them are just fine with a little bit of treat variety. Some of them want their meals to be switched up entirely. Oh, the food thing can run the gamut. That's a whole nother. I could chat your ear off for 20 minutes about that.
Okay. And then final question, and thank you for those ones so far. If you have a pet and then you decide I'm going to bring another pet in and they don't get along in the beginning, is it like they just need time or they really don't want to, like, how can we – oh, that's a big question. This is going to be a big one. Yes. Are they always going to get along? Should we just force them, like, well, eventually you'll just make it work? Or should we come to see you and then have you communicate for them?
Yeah, and this is a great question. And I have to say this with Brinks and the behavioral thing. Some people say, come to me and say, can you just tell them to stop doing X, Y, or Z? And I go, well, then I'd be performing miracles left, right, and center. And I'm not a miracle worker. I relay their feelings, their emotions, their sentiments, and anything they want to communicate in terms of directive that might prescribe a way of resolving. Sometimes it's conventional, sometimes it's entirely unconventional. Now, when it comes to two animals that are trying to coexist and maybe aren't getting along, it's really calling on you on what emotion is that invoking in you. Are you feeling like a sense of separation, anger, anxiety, despair, sadness, grief? Like, it can bring up all kinds of things. It can bring up stuff like abandonment from your own past or childhood. So what is that bringing up in you? I always ask people to get curious with their animals. It's okay to react a few times because that's the body saying there's something going on here that I need to pay attention to. But then you need to, like, step back and look at your own emotions and what's coming up before you react, because we're so good at just remedy, remedy, remedy. And then that's why people won't even stop before they come to me. They're like, Meg, fix this. And I was like, no, that's not my job. I'm supposed to just bring more information to the situation. Okay. So, it's not a guarantee.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Everything you've shared has been, you are so enlightened about this. Oh my gosh, I could talk to you forever and ever and ever. And I hope that so many people truly do. Everybody, like I said, you've got to connect with Meg Vickel, and it's a modern day Doolittle. Thank you so much, Meg. I ran out of time, but you were an awesome guest. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
All right, guys, go leave us comments, share what you're thinking, feeling, what you got, and we'll talk to you guys next Monday. Bye, everyone.